This is the March 7th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 323 for property ID 16002000. The property is owned by AG Residential JV LLC. And board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We do have Carrie Dudley here for the assessor's office, and we have Greg LeBlanc here as a representative for the appellant. If you could both please raise your right hands now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
I do.
Thank you. I won't give you the rest of the spiel because you've already heard it today. Go ahead. Tell us about this one, Mr. LeBlanc.
Okay, this is the Autumn Grove apartments.
You should be able to zip through this one a little faster because we've already heard that where it comes from. Just, you know, point it out in the first questions. We'll ask them as we go.
Sure. And so we've got a slightly different value. We're at $39,567,000. $567,000 for our requested value, which is slightly higher than our $39.5 million on our appeal form. So this particular property, it's a new construction garden style. It's 148 units, garden style complex built in 2021, located just north of the Vancouver Mall. The apartments have an overall average unit size of 905 square feet, and the complex has a mix of one-bedroom and two-bedroom apartments, with 76% of the apartments being two-bedroom, two-bath units. The apartment finishes include stainless steel appliances with a microwave hood and dishwasher. Other features include quartz counters, undermount stainless steel sink, washer dryers, pretty typical finishes for the newer garden style complexes that are being built around town. Amenities include a clubhouse with a fitness center, playground, seasonal outdoor pool, sport court, 16 storage units, 58 carports, and 12 garages. As of the January 2023 valuation date, the property was almost 97% occupied. Page 3 shows a picture of the location within Vancouver, and as well as an aerial of the property just north of the Vancouver Mall. The difference in our two approaches is just over $2 million between our requested value and the assessed amount. One thing to keep in mind here is that the current owner purchased the property on June 11th, 2021 for $39.5 million. So at a time that at value pretty close to our requested value. We've included the RITA from the sale. The property was openly marketed with an asking price of $41.44 million. It had a pro forma NOI of $1.927 million, indicating a 4.88 cap rate. But those pro forma, of course, underestimated stabilized taxes. So if we use the 2021-22 taxes, we get a cap rate of 4.69% based on a pro forma NOI of $1.851 million. We have, the interest rates. We already discussed the interest rates and how they've doubled between January 2022 and 23. And we've talked about the market conditions showing vacancy increasing and rent growth decreasing. And here we have the sales data as tracked by CoStar for the Vancouver multifamily market and showing the price per unit. So when we purchased the subject in Q2 of 2021, the average price per unit in Vancouver was $260,808 per unit. And fast forward to Q1 of 2023, the indicated value per unit in the Vancouver market is $256,670. So the values have gone up. They've gone down. So we're essentially at a pretty similar market per unit value as to when we purchased the property. So I can skip over the financing impacts. We all understand that if you increase the interest rate, that it's going to result in higher debt service. We've talked about cap rates and the CBRE cap rate data. We're using a 4.9% cap rate for this particular property, but the cap rates for suburban multifamily ranges between 4.75% and 5.25%, according to the CBRE survey data. And that's also corroborated by the CoStar data that we have here. Here is our income approach on page 11. And you can see that we're projecting the rents as well as a host of other income and expenses and a 5% vacancy collection loss and expenses before taxes gives us an indicated NOI of just over $2.3 million. Again, NOI before taxes. Since we haven't included taxes, we are loading our 4.9% cap rate with the tax load of 0.93%, gives us a loaded cap rate of 5.83%, and that results in a value of $39,567,000 or $267,345,000 per unit. I've included the 2022 actuals as this is the since we just bought it in 2021, and so the 2022 was stabilized, and that indicates shows that we were at $2.2 million in NOI before taxes last year, so we're projecting slightly higher up to over $2.3 million, so that value, again, by our loaded cap rate of 5.83, results in a value of $39,567,000. Next, we have the market conditions. So the subject sold just 18 months before our January 2023 revaluation date, and I just wanted to point out there is a WACC. With respect to this is WAC 458-14087, and it indicates that parties may submit with boards may consider any sales of the subject property or similar properties which occurred prior to the hearing date, so as long as the requirements of RCW 84, I'm not going to read those, and WAC 458 are complied with. Only sales made within 5 years of the date of petition shall be considered. Moving on to the next section. So they're talking about that you would also, if a sale of a subject property, similar property, should be adjusted based on market activity for the local area to show what that sale would have been worth as of your valuation date. So we've done that. In this case, here we've shown that the assessed value has actually increased between January 2022 and January 2023 So we see that the subject, so that says January 11, 2023. That's incorrect. It should be January 11, 2021 for $39.5 million. And if we adjust that to our January 1, 2023 date, we get a value of $38,868 our market condition adjustment, again, is based on this data here showing that there's been a slight decrease between $260,000 and $256,000 per unit for the overall market analysis based on all the sales in the market. Just adjusting for that results in a value of $38,868, which is lower than our requested value. We've also included comparable sales, and we have six sales that range between $222,000 and $287,000 per unit. And then after adjustments for market condition, location, unit features, amenity, unit size, those sales are adjusted to $222,000 and $270,000 per unit, an average $242,000 per unit. So all of the sales that we've included are newer garden-style communities located in Vancouver, built between 2015 and 2022. So those sales are shown here. And we can see that they're all very similar in age. Here is the sales with the subject, and they're all located relatively close to the subject. Sales 5 and 6, I believe, were adjusted upward for having a slightly inferior location in orchards. But again, we've adjusted these sales. We've made the appropriate market conditions adjustments, and we've adjusted for amenity features and common area amenities. Some of these sales have inferior common area amenities. And we've also adjusted for unit size. So with that, we're getting an average per unit value of $242,000. We're concluding at a higher $265,000 per unit, considering I believe that the quality of the subject with the unit finishes and amenities that are offered. So with that, again, we have a fairly recent sale of the subject. We've adjusted that sale to market conditions, and we've also supported that with our income analysis. And we've also supported that with sales of six other comparable properties. And they all have lead us to our requested value, just over $39.5 million.
Okay. I don't have any questions.
No, I don't have any questions.
Dan, you're muted. Did you have any questions?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Gary.
Okay. All right. So here is my summary of data report for the subject property. Again, the subject was built in 2020 and consists of the 8 three-story apartment buildings, a leasing office, a rec center, seasonal pool, coffee stations, barbecue grill stations, dog park, playground, and the EV charging stations. The property has 148 rentable living units total and is located on 5.68 acres near the Vancouver Mall. This property was actually physically inspected May of 2023, and we were able to use current market data for our analysis, our income analysis. We did reach out to the property via a mailed survey, which we do every time that we're doing physical inspections, so that they could provide us with rental rents, expenses, vacancies. We didn't receive anything back from this complex, but we did receive a significant amount back from other complexes in this neighborhood for our reval cycle. Like Mr. LeBlanc said, the property did sell June of 2021 for $39,500,000. I did ask for a copy of the fee appraisal for that sale, and it was not provided to me. I did want to just kind of verify our information against that. It's a good way for us to make sure that we've got everything in our system correctly. Jump down to our the value approaches. So the cost approach, obviously, with a fully leased out complex is not going to be a valid approach to use. We did have a sales comparison approach that we'll talk about in a little bit, which indicates the value of about $42,624,000. And then we have our 2023 income approach, which uses the current data that was provided to us by other complexes in the area as far as income, expenses, and vacancies. And that indicated value is the $41,639,777. So let's go to our income approach. Oh, also, I did also want to point out, Mr. LeBlanc also had mentioned the decrease in the market. He's going back to that market rent per or unit value chart from CoStar. This overview from CoStar is looking at the year-over-year increase from January 2022 to January 2023, and it is showing a 5.1% increase, a peak increase of 2022 at 10%, which happened mid-2022, and then ended the 2022 year with a 5.1% increase. So just wanted to, again, point that out, that we do show an increase for 2022 and not a decrease. So here is our income approach. This is the 2023 income approach, so there's no market adjustment based on sales for this one. So these rents that we've received here, the rents that we have here, the operating expenses and vacancy, that is basically through outreach to different complexes in the area to get their current rents, their current operating expenses, their current vacancy rates. We take that information and we compile that together to get what market rents would should be. Again, weren't able to verify this information because the survey wasn't sent back for this complex, but we are coming out with a value of the $41,639,77. I do want to note that the net operating expenses for us is $2,082,780, where Mr. LeBlanc had $2.3 million basically on his report. So we are lower on our NOI, than he was showing on his actuals. And then we can validate our income. So we're validating our income approach with sales. And so if we take a look at some of the sales in the area, we have these here. We have the subject property as the first property, and then we've listed five sales. All of these sales happened in 2022, except for the last sale, which happened first quarter 2023. I included sale four and sale five only because they were newer complexes, but they are quite a ways away from the subject property. Sale five happening in Camas and sale four happening in Salmon Creek. So I use them just because, you know, it gives us an idea of what these newer properties are selling for, but they're not in the same market area as the subject property. Sales comparables one through three are in the same market area as the property. They are all older, so they're inferior to the subject property in age, but they are very similar in unit size and unit mix. We have a unit size anywhere from 100 units to 204 units, the subject being at 148 units. I also wanted to point out that Mr. LeBlanc is using complexes that are, you know, 56 units, 92 units, so a lot farther away as far as unit size than the actual subject property. Again, we try and keep our sales comparison as close as we can to the subject property when it comes to location, size, amenities, things like that. So at this point, we would be adjusting for age, but location, size, and things like that are very similar. We have a map here that shows our sales comparables. So again, you've got your subject property and you've got sales number two happening right next door. Sales number one is within a mile of the property, and sales number three is within 3 miles of the property, or I'm sorry, 2 miles of the property. Sales four and five are significantly further away. I'm not going to put much weight on those, but they are newer complexes, and so they were giving us an idea of what those newer complexes might sell for. So again, even with the age of the property being inferior of the subject property, we still end up with the unit sales price between 264 and 288 per unit for these older complexes that are pretty within 2 miles of the subject property. The subject property's unit price is 281, which definitely supports the value that we've come up with, the $41,639,000. Again, the sale did happen of the subject property June of 2021 with a 5% increase that has been reported. It's pretty much on the mark, the $41 million. Mm.
Good. I don't have any questions. That was very complete.
No questions.
I have one just clarification. On the sheets that you turned in for the response to this, you're showing a cost approach of $14,826,000. Is that must be a typing error? Can you verify
yep.
that?
Sure. The cost approach typically is only something that we use when a complex is under construction, because the value of using cost is significantly lower than an income value. And so it's not a typo. It is what Marshall and Swift has predicted the cost of that unit to be as far as construction. But we don't typically take those into consideration on something that is income generated. So we would look at an income and a sales approach at that point.
$30 million difference on a, oh, okay.
Yeah, and I do kind of touch on that. Page 13, it states here that, let's see, the cost approach is based on the principle of substitution and is best applied to properties where the improvement to the site are new, or they have some kind of a special design to them. So due to the age of the property, it's just not appropriate for us to use the cost approach on this one.
Okay.
Let me ask, when you said in your previous memo and the other thing that the cap rate was 4.5% from everything you can see, and you used a 4% cap rate on this one. Why?
So different properties are going to have different cap rates. Newer properties, typically, they're not going to have the expenses for maintenance like some of the older properties, and they typically, they're less risky of a property if they're fully leased out. This one was at the time of sale, and so the buyer who knows that, it knows that it's a newer property, and he's probably not going to have to, you know, have the risks of an older property. So typically a lower cap rate is then warranted on those. And just like I said, the CoStar, oh, I'm sorry.
So that's a subjective valuation by you when you're doing the cap rate, is that correct? Within the range, but still a lower cap rate because of those conditions.
Right, and so that's why we do our independent studies on cap rates. You know, we were seeing cap rates from 3.25 to 6.25, depending on the age, the style, the location of the building. So a cap rate basically, you know, is indicating the risk to that investor. And so on these newer complexes that are leased out in good rental areas, that risk isn't as great as maybe an older complex in an area that's, you know, not as good.
No, but I'm just saying that's subjectively decided by you.
It is appraiser judgment, but we do analysis to get that range so we can kind of determine exactly what those newer complexes are going for, what the older complexes are going for.
But it's something that you select. It's not something that's automatically popped out to you.
It's not automatically popped out. It's through our analysis that we determine what each kind of class of complex is going to get.
Got it. Okay, go ahead. You had something else you were going to say.
No, I'm done. I'm sorry.
I have no more questions. Mr. LeBlanc, do you have anything else?
I have just a few comments. With respect to that 4% base cap rate, I think that's a pretty low cap rate indication for, again, January of 2023. You know, I have no doubt in my mind that in late 2021 and through the early to mid part of 2022, you were seeing cap rates in that low 4% range. But again, there was kind of a rush because everybody knew this is the last call for cheap financing. And there was kind of a rush to the market there. And we did see some pretty low cap rates. However, fast forward to January 23, those interest rates are much higher. And it has an impact on cap rates. I was talking with Mark Berry one time, the apartment appraiser in Portland. I believe he's since retired. But he says as an assessor, you know, we're driving down the road and we're looking in our rear view mirror, you know, coming up with a value. But our value is a forward facing value, but we're only as good as the data that we have, behind us. But again, when we're in this time of extreme change, when interest rates are doubling, you have to, consider that information. I don't see any support for 4% cap rate as of our valuation date. Again, if we look at the sale of the subject in June of 2021, the cap rate indication is 4.69% to 4.88%, depending on what you plug in for taxes. The suggestion here is that cap rates have decreased by around 75 basis points here, and again, that is and they've gone lower. But again, you just have to ask yourself if in February of 2022, if I could buy a property at a 4.5% interest rate, would I be willing to pay the same for that property if my interest rate is now 6.5%? And I think that's a resounding no, you wouldn't, because the amount you're paying for your mortgage is now cutting into your projected NOI. So in order to compensate for that, that purchase price has to come down. And that's what's happening in the market. With respect to the sales that we've offered six sales. There was a comment that we were relying on sales that are much lower, have a much lower unit count. I will give you that sale two had 56 units and sale three had 75 units, but sales one, four, five, and six have 92 units, 168 units, 178 units, and 160 units. So I do believe we are looking at appropriate sales in terms of size and unit count. Also, those sales, three of those sales did report cap rates, and those cap rates ranged between 4.4% and 4.65%. So again, none of those sales had a cap rate as low as 4%. Lastly, with respect to the assessor's sales comparison approach, if I look on their sales comparison approach, I don't see any adjustment for market conditions. That's something that you absolutely have to consider. So unless I'm missing it, none of the sales that are offered have been adjusted for market conditions.
Just to speak on that from Mr. LeBlanc, by law, we are not allowed to make individual adjustments on properties because we are having to value things equitably. So when you start finiting things like that, you can throw things out of equity. So when you're looking at our sales comparison, we won't ever have adjustments on it. And that is just the name of mass appraisal. You know, we're looking at it for an equitability purposes. The sales that you mentioned that are, you know, within the unit counts, like the subject, your sales four or five, and so on, those all happened in 2021. And I didn't feel that there was a need to go back to 2021 for sales because I was finding appropriate sales in 2022. I pulled five sales from 2022, three which were within 2 miles of the subject property. I don't know why we would need to go back to 2021 to validate sales. And on my market cap rate chart, let me just pop it up here real quick. You will see that it does look like from June of 2021, the cap rates had gone down slightly. So it's, and again, these graphs are showing everything. We're not just looking at, newer complexes or in particular areas where the assessor's office, when we do our studies, we do break things down by age, by location, by unit size, things like that. So we are seeing a decrease in the market cap rate from June 21 to last quarter 2022. So it isn't, you know, out of the norm that we would have a lower cap rate than what the sale in 2021 was.
And just a point with respect to those sales, your sales occurred in, we got three all occurring on the same day in 2022, which makes me wonder, did these all sell in the same transaction? Sale four sold in July of 2022. Those sales were all during superior market conditions when interest rates were lower. And actually, I'm looking at the right one. So, but again, I don't have any more to add.
Okay, I think we have it. Anything, final notes? Okay, close that hearing.
This is the March 7th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We will be taking a look at the late files submitted to the Clark County Board of Equalization. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. The first late file we have is a good cause request form from C Arrow LLC, with the name of the agent being Dennis Ingram. It is property ID 18126800. He is stating that the taxpayer C Arrow LLC is a disregarded entity as a husband and wife limited liability company. The taxpayer was absent from home at the address where the notices were mailed by the assessor. The taxpayer was absent for more than 15 of the days allowed prior to the filing deadline. The filing deadline is after July 1st of the assessment year, as the notice was mailed on September 28th, 2023. The taxpayer was unable to file the petition by the filing deadline because the notice of value dated and mailed by the assessor on September 28th, 2023 was never received in the usual deliveries made by the Postal Service. The taxpayer responsible for dealing with the property taxes did not receive the notice or change of value at least 15 days prior to the deadline. A notice of 121.56% increase in value is an extraordinary event. It looks like he is using a couple different reasons, but primarily the absent for 15 days one.
They qualify, right? So...
Yep.
All right. Okay. That's a qualify. And then our second one is a request for reconvene from Clark A. Mitchell for property ID 17088000. He is using reconvening code number 3, which is the property in an arm's length transaction. A bona fide purchaser or contract buyer acquired interest in the property after July 1st, but on or before December 31st of the assessment year, and the sales price was less than 90% of the assessed value. He writes, the property was purchased by current owners for $461,500 on November 9th, 2023. Clark County valued this property at $540,000 for 125 in 2023. The purchase date and price meet the criteria for reconvening code 3. Property was listed competitively on MLS and had multiple value offers. I have done the calculation and we are looking at 0.8544. So 85%.
Good. Qualifies. Do it.
Perfect. And this concludes our late files for March 7th.
Close that hearing.
Okay. This is the March 7th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petitions 584 and 594 through 652. These properties are owned by Lookout Ridge Townhomes, SPE, LLC. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Greg LeBlanc here on behalf of the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
You swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury.
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead and tell us about this one.
Okay, so this is the Lookout Ridge Townhomes. And share my screen. And this consists of 60 units, townhome units built in 2008. They are in 15 fourplex townhome units, townhome buildings. They range in size from 1,723 square feet up to 1,896 square feet. Average unit size is just over 1,800 square feet. They don't have any common area amenities, but they do have use of a fitness center that's in the adjacent Lookout Ridge Apartments, which is across the street and under the same ownership. As of our evaluation date, they were 98% leased. Page 4 shows the location in Washougal. Here is a close-up aerial of the property. And so the townhomes run along the north side of West Lookout Ridge Drive, and the Lookout Ridge Apartments are on the south side of Lookout Ridge. So here's a typical picture of one of the fourplex buildings. Here's a street view. So the difference in value, we're only at about $1 million in difference between our requested value and the assessed value for the property. The property has always been operated as for rent housing. However, the assessor has valued these as individual fee simple townhomes. In our position is if you are going to sell these units all at once, there would be a bulk sale discount. Also, if you want to sell them as fee simple condominiums, there would be a sellout period, and you would incur holding costs throughout that period, which would also amount to a discount from the retail value. We've presented an income approach, and our income approach, of course, considers increasing interest rates due to financing, which have essentially doubled between January 2022 and 2023, and also significantly increasing 30-year mortgage rates as well. You can see that just the difference in a mortgage payment, if we assumed a retail value of $400,000 at a 90% loan amount, we would have a monthly payment of $1,514 at 3%. If we increase that to 6.5%, our mortgage payment goes up to $2,263. So that is a pretty significant difference of almost $9,000 increase, which would be about $750 per month. We do have some things to consider with the increase in financing rates for available to investment buyers of income producing properties, and also of buyers of single-family homes. We've already talked about the rent, the vacancy going up in the Vancouver market, as well as rent growth going down. And we've seen this table. And we've seen that values peaked in Q2 of 2022 at the end of the low financing rates, and steadily started to decrease after that. So we have a decline of about 8.5% between our Q2 2022 and present valuation date in January 2023. The market financing impacts. We don't need to go into too much detail here, but we see that in based on Q1 2022 at a 4.5% interest rate. We still have plenty of NOI left to cover debt payments. And if we go up to Q1 of 2023 and increase that financing rate to 6.5%, now we're in a negative leverage situation. So that is the result, has resulted in increasing capitalization rates. And again, we've supported our CoStar survey data with the CBRE survey data showing that cap rates range between 4.75 to 5.25. And for this analysis, we're using a 5% cap rate. So here's our income analysis. We're projecting some expense reimbursements, 5% vacancy, collection loss, expenses, just over 30% of EGI. With that 5% base cap rate and the tax load, we get a loaded cap rate of 5.92%. That results in a direct value of $19.5 million rounded, or $325,000 per unit. Here is, we've got 5 years of historical income and expenses, and you can see that our effective gross income of $1,690,000 is higher than any other prior year, as well as our net operating income before taxes. We're at $1.15 million, which is fairly significantly higher than our prior high water mark of $919,000, which was year-end 2022. Again, presenting this in pretty optimistic terms, in terms of projected revenue and NOI, and with a market cap rate, we've got a value of $19.5 million. Next, in support of that, we attach sales of other townhome properties. Those four sales range between $217,500 and $348,000 per unit, an average $294,000 per unit. After adjustment for market conditions, location, unit features, amenities, unit size, those sales range between $282,000 and $359,000 per unit, an average $327,000 per unit. The sales are located on the following page, page 19, and we can see those sales 1 and 2 are newer properties, those sold at $335,000 and $348,000 per unit. Sale 3 is located in Camas, but it's an older property built in 96. So that is definitely our low indicator. And then we have sale 4 located in Vancouver. These are 1,500 square foot threeplex units. So each unit has 3-bed, 2.5-bath, plus a 2-car garage, which is superior to us in terms of we only have a single car garage. And those sold for $275,000 per unit in June of 2021. So here are those sales in relation to the subject in Washougal, which I would argue is slightly inferior location to many of the comparable sales. And so after we adjust these, we do adjustments for market conditions, and we adjust for age, building configuration, unit features, and average unit size. And with that, we get an adjusted average value of $327,000. So again, our requested value is at $325,000. So, in conclusion, we've provided an income approach, supported by a market cap rate. We've projected a pretty optimistic NOI before taxes. We've supported our analysis with four sales, and that results in a value similar to our requested income value. And we believe that due to increasing cap rates, that values have gone down for multifamily properties with respect to the subject, although they are partitioned off as fee simple townhome units. They have always been operated as for rent housing, and in order to sell them, there would likely be some make ready costs. There would also, if you sold them currently all at once, there would be a bulk sale discount. Or if you did a sellout model, there would be a discount for the holding costs associated with selling the units over a period of time that takes into account sales commission, escrow fees, title fees, insurance costs, taxes, utilities, things of that nature. So in the end, we believe that a typical buyer would approach this as an income-producing property, since that is how they were, how they've been operated. Also, I think selling townhomes in the current market with increased interest rates is likely less desirable. So we believe that the income analysis is the most appropriate analysis for this property.
I don't have any questions.
I have no questions.
No, I don't have any questions on you.
Okay.
Anything else you want to add? Last minute? Greg, done?
Okay.
I'm done.
Okay. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay. Thank you for your time, and enjoy the sunshine that we've been blessed with.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
This is the March 7th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 321 for property ID 11042000. The property address, oh, I don't have it. The property is owned by Monterey Apartments, LLC. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We do have Carrie Dudley here from the assessor's office and Greg LeBlanc here on behalf of the appellant. If you could both please raise your right hand to be sworn in now.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your client property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, we're going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Mr. Chairman, before you start, I need to recuse myself from this hearing. I have a personal relationship with the owners of this property, so I'm going to step out and I'll come back for the next hearing.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead, Greg.
It's okay. I will share my screen to present my evidence. There you see. So our requested value is $41,703,000, which is about a $2.8 million reduction from the assessed value. So the Monterey Apartments, this is a garden-style complex built in 1992 and located off of East Mill Plain Boulevard in Vancouver. The complex has a mix of one-bedroom, two-bedroom, one-bath, two-bedroom, two-bath apartments. The most common type is a two-bedroom, one-bath apartment that accounts for 62% of all units. The apartments feature white finish appliances that include a microwave hood and dishwasher. All the apartments have washer dryers and amenities, include a clubhouse with a fitness center, seasonal outdoor pool, and carports. As of our January 2023 valuation date, the property was almost 97% occupied. Page 3 shows a location of the subject in Vancouver. And here's a close-up aerial of the property located, which is incidentally not too far from our offices here in Mill Plain. So our difference in value is just over $2.8 million, and much of our difference between our valuation and the assessors, I believe, comes down to cap rate and considering the market conditions that have occurred and are impacting valuations as of January 1, 2023. Primarily, we have increased interest rates. We've been over this on several appeals this week, so I won't go into any too much detail here, but we can see from the evidence on page 5, we have the 10-year treasury and the prime rate as of 1/1/22. Those were 1.76% and 3.25%, respectively. Those interest rates began to increase in mid-2022. And by January 2023, our valuation date, they had doubled to 3.5% for the 10-year treasury and 7.5% for the prime rate. So pretty substantial increases there. Also, if we look at what's going on with the local Vancouver multifamily market, we see that vacancy has increased in 2023 to 8.2%, and market the rent growth has decreased to negative, and this is mostly the result of increased new supply. With that, the impact of the increase in interest rates is shown in the amount of sales activity for the market between late 2021 and mid 2022, there was almost $1 billion in multifamily investment activity in the Vancouver market. However, after starting in Q2 of 2022, coinciding with the increase in the interest rates, that level of activity dropped substantially and has since been low as a result. What we've seen is that the values peaked in Q2 of 2022 and have since gone down between Q2 of 2022 and Q1 of 2023. Values in the Vancouver market for multifamily properties, a per unit value, decreased by approximately 8.5%. So pretty substantial decline over a space of 6 months. We've also looked at financing impacts due to increasing interest rates, and at our assessed value and our requested value, at a 4.5% cap rate, which is typical of what would have been offered in the market in 2022 and Q1, we have enough NOI to cover the debt service. However, even at the assessor's assessed value, the debt service is negative at that low 4.5% interest rate. If we fast forward to Q1 of 2023, those interest rates have now increased to about 6% for garden-style properties. And at both our requested values, we have substantially negative leverage due to the increasing debt service. So our annual mortgage payment has increased rather substantially at a 6.5% cap rate at our requested value. At a 6.5% interest rate, the mortgage payment is about $2.352 million, assuming a 70% loan to value. And that's almost $400,000 or over $400,000 higher than where it would have been a year ago. So prior to that. So it's pretty significant impact due to the increase in interest rates, and that in a nutshell is why values have gone down as of January 1, 2023. The next thing to consider is the capitalization rates, and we can see that those capitalization rates are trending up in at bottoming out at a low in late 21 and early 22, and since then increasing. We've also included the first half CBRE cap rate survey that's attached as exhibit 3. I'm gonna guess here, and looks like I got the right page. This is on page P140. You can see this is for multifamily suburbans in the Portland market. We see the cap rates between 4.5 and 5 for the second half of 2022, and 4.75 and 5.25 for the first half of 2023. So it's obvious the cap rates have increased, So for this particular property, we concluded at a 4.75 cap rate. Page P111 contains our income analysis. And here we've projected rents and other income, and a 5% vacancy collection loss, as well as expenses before taxes. and we're getting a projected net operating income of $2,383,723, and then we're using the base cap rate of 4.75%. We're loading that tax load based on the tax rate. I believe this is for the 2022-2023 tax year. I think we have a difference in opinion there between our projection of the tax load, because I think the assessor is using the 2023 tax rate, and our argument there is that you would logically use the tax rate that's known at the time of valuation, the 2023 tax rate was not yet published, so we're using the 2022. With that, we have a 5.75% tax load, our cap rate, loaded cap rate, and that gives us a value of $41,703,000 rounded, or about $187,000 per unit. Page 12, we have the historicals, as well as our projected inclusion, and you can see that we're projecting net operating income slightly higher than 2022. We've also supported our analysis with 6 sales. These sales range between $184,000 and $260,000 per unit, an average $210,000 per unit before adjustment. After adjustment, for market conditions, location, unit features and amenities, unit size, were ranging between $188,000 and $208,000. And we're at $197,000 per unit for an average. They're all similar guard-style communities located in Vancouver, but some of those are newer. And with the older age of the property built in 92, we're concluding towards the lower end of the range. Page 14 contains a summary of the sales that we utilize. Of note, we included comparable one, which closed in November of 23, which is 11 months after our valuation date. But it's there to illustrate that cap rates have really trended up, and this particular sale closed at a 6.8% cap rate. So you can see the impact of financing. Next, we have comparable two. This is a 206-unit property that sold in October of 2022 for $191,000. It contains 1-bedroom, 2-bedroom, 2-bath, and 3-bedroom, 2-bath, so a little superior unit mix, it as it doesn't have 2-bedroom, 1-bath, which is the most common unit type of our subject. It has a clubhouse, fitness center, indoor pool with a spa, next, we have 5 Points Apartments. This is a new construction built in 2022. This is our high indicator at $260,000 per unit, and it's because it's brand new. Next, we have Sale 4, built in 1998, that closed at $204,000 per unit. It's located off Ellsworth. And sale 5 is Fountain Village, a much newer construction built in 2015. It's located in Orchard, so a slightly inferior location, but it did close at $222,000 per unit. All the 2 bedrooms, I believe, are 2-bedroom, 2-bath. units, and also it's a gated community that includes a clubhouse, fitness center, carports, dog park. Lastly, sale 6, Ashley Terrace, similar vintage. That one sold at $202,000 per unit. It does have 2-bedroom, 2.5-bath townhomes, which increases that per unit value, but it has a similar amenity package. In addition, it has a tennis court, and this one reportedly sold at a 4.5% cap rate. That's the here's the subject's location in relation to the sales. And here's our sales analysis, which we are adjusting for market conditions. And as a result, we're at an average of $197,942. But again, we believe that including towards the lower end of the range is appropriate here, because the subject is has a 2-bedroom, 1-bath as the most common unit type, and it's generally older in age with not updated unit finishes. So unless anybody has any questions, we can let Ms. Dudley present her case.
All right.
Any questions? Just to say, John, any questions?
No, I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Carrie.
Okay, so let me share. Oh, here we go. Entire screen. Sorry, the WebEx is a little different than the Teams that I'm used to. So, can everybody see my screen with the summary of pertinent data for the Monterey Apartments?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Yes.
So, just like Mr. LeBlanc was saying, we've got a lot of the same information on our report. The subject was built in 1991 and consists of the 22-story apartment buildings, garden style, one leasing office, rec center, the TV lounge, weights, year-round spa, business center, and the seasonal heated pool. They do have covered parking. The property has a total of 223 rentable living units, and the approximate size of the complex is 199,550 square feet. This is all on 12.27 acres. The property was last physically inspected March 24th of 2021. That is when we did our physical inspection. We also do a survey of rents in the area. We rebuild our data as far as what's in our CAMA system with current rents, current cap rates, current expenses, vacancies, and things like that. So I did also want to point out that there is no current sales activity on this parcel, but there is, however, a deed of trust that was taken out, so a loan taken out on the property in 2020. I did ask for the fee appraisal that was done for this deed of trust, and I hadn't received it as of yet, so I did think that that was kind of an important piece of information just to make sure that our data is matching the data that's actually at the property. We did look at the three approaches to value. Obviously, the cost approach in an older complex like this probably wouldn't be a relevant value. We did a sales comparison and an income approach. Again, our income approach is from 2021. That's when the property was last physically inspected. And then 2022 comparison of sales, we basically at the assessor's office use a blended approach when we are out of a rebuild cycle. And so we start with the income approach, and then we do a statistical analysis compared with the sales to generate the market value. And the market value we've come up with for the January 1st, 2023 value date is the $44,512,100. Again, we've got some maps of the property along with some pictures. Let me scroll a little faster. So here we're going to start talking about our income approach. Again, this is an income approach that we did back in 2021. So it was last physically inspected 2021. All of our values here are 2021 values. And you'll notice down here at the bottom, we do a market adjustment. So that brings the property value up with a market adjustment to its current assessed value. So when Mr. LeBlanc is stating that our cap rates or rents might not be exactly the same, that is true. These are values that were determined back in 2021, 2 years before the assessment date. And then a market adjustment is applied with sales, with our sales analysis, to give us that assessed value for the January 23 assessment date. Let's go into our sales.
You have a little better description, I mean, because you're talking about a third of the value is in that plug number.
Right. So let me just open this up. This kind of gives a good explanation. So right here, and I've added this statement into the report because it is a little confusing when you're talking about mass appraisal for ad valorem purposes compared to an actual fee appraisal. So the state bylaw tells us that we have to appraise property at 100% of market value. Sometimes there's confusion between the valuation of the property and physical inspection of the property. The state requires that all properties be valuated at 100% of market, but physically inspected once every 6 years. So the commercial department here in Clark County, we physically inspect our properties once every 4 years. And at that time, we do a deep dive analysis into that area and the complexes. So we go in and we look at what market rents are of that current reval year. We look at expenses. We look at vacancies. And that is what we're generating our value on the reval year. The years following that reval year, we use sales and we use a sales analysis, basically just looking at sales of similar properties in that area to see if the market is going up or down. And then we apply that adjustment. And that's what you'll see those market adjustments on our income statements for, because we don't have enough bodies to physically inspect each property every single year and do our analysis for every single property in the county. We do it once every 4 years. And then the 3 years outside of reval, we're using sales to determine if the market's going up or down. So that is a little bit different than a fee appraisal. A fee appraisal obviously is going to use most current data. And they're going to, be able to get a more accurate income approach as of the date of that report. If we look at some of our sales that we have selected.
So it's basically just a percentage factor against the calculation you did in, what was it, 2021?
Right. So we consider it a blended approach because we're using the income value from the last reval year, and then we're using sales from the current assessment year, and we're kind of blending those two together. So this is what we're starting at, which is our 2021 value, and then the market is showing that either that needs to go up or go down to get to that 100% of market that the state's requiring us to be at. Let me turn my Outlook off really quick so I stop getting those. So we do have sales that we use to determine what that percentage up or down needs to be. All of the sales that the assessor has used here in this comparable were of the 2022 sale year. Mr. LeBlanc only had two, I believe, that were in the 2022 sale year, one that was in 2023 and the rest that were in 2021. We do have valid sales in 2022. I did not feel a need to go outside our 2022 sales year to, you know, find any additional sales. We also are using sales more comparable to the age of the property and the unit size of the property. The unit size of the subject is 200 and, or the unit count of the subject is 223, and our sales unit counts range from 154 to 240, where Mr. LeBlanc was using a range of 84 units to 200 units. We try and keep the properties as similar as we can when we're looking at sales. Obviously, we don't want to need to make any adjustments or as few adjustments as possible. So if you look at our sales that we have here listed, sales comparable 1, 2, and 3, they all sold in the 2022 date range. We also have a sale that happened January 2022 and a sale that happened December 2022. I know that Mr. LeBlanc had mentioned that the interest rates were affecting values. This is a really good indicator of what the market was doing at the beginning of 2022 and the end of 2022 when you're talking about those interest rates. So our January sale would have shown a lower interest rate for financing, but we're still ending up with $264,000 for that per unit for that sale. And then this December 2022 sale, which is at the higher point of our interest rates in the market, ended that sale with a unit price of $249,000 per unit. The subject is currently at $199,000 per unit, so well below either of those two values. The map here of our sales shows our subject and shows where our sales are located. Mr. LeBlanc's most comparable sale was his sale number 2, which is located in Hazeldale, which is quite a ways away from the subject being in Cascade Park. As you can see, our sales comparable number 1 is just a few blocks away from the subject. And then our comparables 2, and 3 are a little further away, but still within a 3-mile radius of the subject property. Let's go down here. So our conclusion is we're using a blended approach. We have our 2021 income approach and then the sales comparison approach to get that market adjustment to end our recommended value at the $44,512,100. Just a few keynotes that I did have here on Mr. LeBlanc's presentation. He has on his page 21 an overview taken from CoStar. We have the same overview on our page 8, but when he pulled his CoStar report January of 2024, it shows a decrease in the market of 2%. That is using a year over year from January 2023 to January 2024. If you look at our assessor page 8, the same overview from the same source, the assessor or the year over year shows a 5% increase with a peak mid-2022 at 10% and a decline at the end of the year to the 5%, still an increase though. That's showing a year over year from January 2022 to January 2023. So you'll also notice in his reports on page 10, his cap rates are ranging from 4.6 to 4.9. On my page 7, again, the same data source, but pulled January of 23, and mine are ranging from 4.3 to 4.5. The reason the assessor's office does our own analysis is because we don't know what is behind third-party sourcing. And when you're looking at the same data pulled on different dates and you're getting different results, that is a little concerning. And so we don't just rely on third-party data. We have access to all of these sales. We validate the sales through a very, you know, high analysis process that we do. And then we look at those sales to determine what those cap rates are. Also, Mr. LeBlanc has a sales volume chart on page 7 of his documentation. We also have the same chart on page 7 of our documentation. Again, these are from the same data source showing two different, completely two different data sets. If we look at, let's see, let me look here. So on page 7, this is the chart in CoStar that he is referring to. And this is my page 7. So you can see that the data, Portland, Vancouver trends, the lines are completely different. And so this is why we don't rely on third-party data to fact. We do our own studies. We do use this to kind of validate what we're seeing, but we do our own studies to make sure that what we are applying to the properties is actually what the market is doing. Let's see, on this next page, you'll see the cap rates. So his market cap rate graph is here from his report, and my market cap rate from my report is here, and you'll see that they look completely different. And so this is just showing that depending on when you're pulling the report from CoStar, you're not getting the same data. And because we don't know what's behind these graphs, it's just really not something that we're going to rely on as, you know, 100% fact. So in conclusion to that, I do agree that the market looks different today than it did in 2022. I do feel that some of his information might be not using the best data source as far as what CoStar is, you know, showing. We have sales. We have three valid sales that are within blocks of the subject property that we are actually under their unit price as far as what the subject property is. And our income approach is from 2021. So we're not going to take a cap rate that we used in 2021 and compare it to, you know, today's or a January 2023 cap rate. That is what our market adjustment's for. So, in conclusion, I do feel that we support our value.
Let me point out in the documentation that we have, you used a cap rate of 5%.
And let me see.
On your page 10?
Yeah. Yep. So this is our income approach.
Let me finish. In your documentation, or in a email that you sent to Mr. Obama, you say that all the data I've collected and analyzed show a 4.5% rate is appropriate. But you used a 5.
We used a 5 in 2021. The data that I'm collecting for the 2023 assessment is showing a 4.5. So when you're looking at my page 10, the income approach was as of January 2021. So this data here that was collected in 2021 is being shown. And then there's a market adjustment at the very bottom of the $12 million, which shows the increase from 2021 to 2023. of what the market has done.
You've explained to me what the reason for that is. You've not explained to me how that's computed, because that's a third of the value or more that's there. $12 million is just stuck in there as a number.
Right. I didn't attach all of our data. We do a very significant analysis of the sales that are happening in the entire county, and we break them down by cycle and by neighborhood to get those adjustments. And we apply those adjustments en masse on all of the properties, all the multifamily properties in that neighborhood. And so where that data is being validated is here on my sales comparison, where I have my three sales that I'm using as comparables to the property, and I'm showing that these 2022 sales have an increase in value, and that is being reflected on the subject property by the $12 million. So when we're looking at our sales, and we're saying, okay, are we high or are we low? These are three very valid comparable sales within blocks of the property that are selling for, you know, a sales unit price anywhere between 238 and 264. And we're at 199. That's gives me pretty good confidence that we are either within or below what a market would pay for that.
Any questions, John?
No, I don't have any questions on it. Thank you.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to ask about is the tax load. Why is that different?
So the tax load that we're using here, the tax rate of 1.1597, again, this is from January 1st, 2021. So all of this data that's showing on my income approach was built in 2021 when we physically inspected the property. So as of 2021, the value was $32 million. And from 2021 to 2023, what the market sales are showing us is that we have an increase, and the increase was 15%. I can't remember what the exact increase was, but that's what this market adjustment is. And then we can validate that by looking at specific sales that are very comparable to the subject.
I'm talking about just the tax load itself. How's that?
Yes. So this tax rate is from 2021. All of our data here that's been collected on this income, on our income report, is data that we collected in 2021.
Okay, I brought this up before with Michael Fish and others that somehow you guys are going to have to demonstrate to us where that number, because that's just a plug number that's stuck in there that is meaningless to us.
Right.
Without some backup information. So somebody's got to figure out a way to show us, and I don't want to see all your detailed calculations, but I want to see some mechanism. And they've tried to explain it a couple times, and it just doesn't work.
Right.
So figure out a mechanism to show us how that calculation's done.
So if I can just go back to my sales report, and this is just going to be super high level because I don't want to get into the details of it. So what we would do is we would take our sales. So these are our three sales here. And we would say these are the assessed values that we have on the sales, and this is what they sold for. If you take the difference between the two and you average that out between however many sales there are in that neighborhood, that's going to show us what that adjustment needs to be for every other property. So we're trying to get to 100% of market, which is the blue highlighted numbers here. And we're starting with the assessed value of the property. So we use our sales.
I understand that. I mean, and you have a whole market analysis that's done for the residential properties, but there's nothing to show this difference. I mean, every year you do a residential calculation of the increase in values from year to year. There's nothing that documents this level of increase. It's a similar thing. You're just taking from 21 to 23 and saying, okay, comparable properties have gone up by, you know, X percent. And that's where that plug comes from. We just need some method of you demonstrating that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other questions, John?
Nope. I got it. Thank you.
Okay. I think I got it.
I have some rebuttal points, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
Now, with respect to the assessor's income approach, this is not really an income approach that you can put any weight on. That market conditions analysis, again, which Mr. Weaver touched upon, it doesn't seem like it's supported. The primary reason why I don't think you can put weight on the income approach here is that it's an income approach from 2 years ago, and then you're simply putting a market conditions adjustment on it. It lacks all that accuracy. In order to do a true income approach, you have to project rents that are effective as of your valuation date. So rents change, expenses change, vacancy rates change, cap rates change. So we've got an analysis that uses something from 2 years ago and then does that lump sum market condition adjustment, which is pretty significant. As Mr. Weaver pointed out, it goes from 32,255 to 44,512. That's a 38% increase in value right there. And it's a little different than our analysis and what our data is showing. If we go back to here, the CoStar data, we have an average per unit value around $240,000 per unit in 2021. And then over to here, it goes to $256,000 in 2023, Q1 of 2023. So, you know, $240,000 to $256,000, that's about a 6.7% increase. So we've got a vastly different indication of a market condition adjustment here. For that reason, I can tell you that income approach is not accurate. When I was working as an appraiser, if a bank engaged us to do an appraisal, I said, oh, yeah, I appraised that 2 years ago. Well, here's the appraisal. I'm just going to do a blind market condition adjustment. Here's your new value. Here's your report. I can tell you that would be some folks at the bank that wouldn't be very happy with me. I would not be allowed to submit that. So, that's a bit of a head scratcher, seeing that type of analysis presented here.
Well, that is state law that we physically inspect once a year, and then the years that they are not inspected, we do an analysis and update those based on the analysis of market data, which is sales. And so, unfortunately, we don't have the manpower to do an actual fee appraisal for every single property in Clark County. And so the law states that we do that once every 6 years, which we do it once every four for our commercial properties. And then the years outside of that physical inspection, we do it based on the statistical analysis for, on the sales that we do. But again, we would never encourage anybody to use, you know, just CoStar data to validate any values from the properties. Like I showed you with the two graphs side by side, depending on when you pull that data, you're going to get different results. And so I don't really feel like CoStar reported an annual increase from January 21 to January 22 of 5%. And then they also reported another 5% increase from January 22 to January 23. But you're showing here on this graph that it's a 6% increase for the 2 years when they reported 2 years in a row on their overviews a 10%.
Okay, can I continue? You know, with respect to the CoStar data, you know, the CoStar data is you know, that's something that's built on, you know, their logarithms as far as what they're projecting into the future. We have sales data from CoStar. The data that we presented here includes many different data points. These are all sales within the Vancouver market. So it's a good pool of data. But when we get into the forecast area, that's where we're getting into a gray area. And you know, clearly, I don't think the CoStar data considered the impact of dramatically increasing interest rates when they're projecting their forecast. So that is not indicated in any way in any of the data that's shown in the CoStar data from the assessor's information. But to state, to show that interest rates are going to double and it's not going to have any impact on value is like putting your head in the sand and not, you know, facing the music here. Is definitely going to impact value, and it definitely has, and we can see that in the transaction data, how it's gone down significantly. We also see sales where the cap rate has gone up significantly. We just saw a nine-story new construction in Portland sell for $200,000 per unit. That is way below what they had projected that it would sell for. But, you know, it's just an indication of what's happening in the market. With respect to the assessor's sales, I note that sale two is part of our portfolio sale of nine properties. Sale three, which occurred in December of 2022, I will agree that that is a pretty high per unit value for this property. When I looked it up on CoStar, I see that the mortgage was only $18.5 million. So that's not even 50% of the purchase price. And one thing that, you know, is not known to me here is does this involve assumable financing? Because this is something that we're also seeing in the market, where we're seeing a dichotomy of sales. We're seeing stuff that's sold where people have had to gone out and get financing, and that's resulted in lowering value per unit. And then we have stuff that we've seen some sales that have sold for pretty high prices per unit. And it turns out that those involved assumable financing, where the buyer was able to assume the seller's loan. And so if you're able to jump into a loan where you're only having 4% versus 6.5%, it's going to make a big difference into the price you're willing to pay for that property. So again, we don't know. The assessor claims that these are vetted sales, but do we know if this involves assumable financing? I'm, you know, not entirely sure here. considering the amount of the loan. You can't ignore interest rates going up and the impact it's going to have on the market. It's an extreme shift, and it's hard to appraise and value properties in times of change. It does require you to roll up your sleeves and dig in there and talk to market participants. And I'm telling you, we hear from a lot of our clients, and they're telling us in 2022 that, okay, the spigot's being shut off, the deals are drying down, the underwriting requirements are getting a lot stricter, and that's what's happening in the market now. So you have to go in, the valuation date is January 1, 2023, and that's the date we've reflected in our value.
But I think when you're kind of trying to predict what the market's also doing, where we are using sales, actual sales of properties from 2022 to get our January 1st, 2023 date. So yes, I agree with you that interest rates are going up. And yes, I agree with you that that will typically reflect in the market. But the sales that occurred in 2022 that lead us to our January 1st, 2023 valuation, it wasn't showing in those sales yet. What I'm seeing now when I'm looking at sales, yes. For our 2023 sales, for our 2024 value, absolutely. For our January 2023 valuation date, looking at 2022 sales, it wasn't being shown yet. Sales volume had reduced, but the price per unit hadn't reduced as much as the subject property. So we may have seen a little bit of reduction, but the subject's unit price was still lower. So that's what we're basing this on, is sales that occurred in 2022, where we are seeing a change in the market, but it's still not being reflected in those sales yet. So I agree that it will look different this year than it did last year, but we have to have that data. We're not setting the market, we're following the market.
Okay. I think we have enough information. Thank you. Any final?
I'm good. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Close that hearing.